over 20 years ago now, at the height of the Operation Desert Storm, Ruth Dillo received a very sad message from the Pentagon. The message stated that her son, Clayton, had stepped on a landmine in Kuwait and was killed. Ruth later wrote these words, "I can't begin to describe my grief and shock. It was almost more than I could bear. For 3 days I just wept. I expressed anger and loss. For 3 days people tried to comfort me, but nothing worked. The loss was simply too great." But 3 days after she received that first message, the phone rang. The voice on the other end said, "Mum, it's me. It's Clayton. I'm alive." Ruth said, "I couldn't believe it at first. But then I recognised the voice and realised he really was alive. The message was all a mistake." She said, "I laughed, I cried, I felt like turning cartwheels because my son, who I thought was dead, was actually alive." Hearing a story like that allows us to imagine the absolute grief followed by the absolute joy of those disciples of Jesus. The joy they experienced on that first Easter Sunday. They had watched the sun rise that morning with their hope in batters. Surely nothing good could come from a dead leader, a dead friend, a dead Messiah. But then that very evening, as they met in fear behind closed and locked doors, confused by the stories that the women had come back and shared with them about Jesus being alive. And then Jesus walked in. Jesus walked through those locked doors into the midst and stood there. And the signs of his death were obvious in the wounds he bare on his hands and his feet, on his side, on his head. But he was alive. They ate with him. They talked with him. They touched him. He was alive. And hope, their hope, was not just reborn that night. It sprung eternal in their hearts, never to leave them ever again. For surely nothing now was impossible with such a leader. Every promise that he had ever made was now totally fulfillable. And over the next 40 days, Jesus would often meet with them. He would teach them about his death. He would teach them about his resurrection. He would teach them about their mission. And he would teach them about what all these things meant. And he would build up within them a hope that they would soon be very prepared to die for. And after 40 days of teaching, he departed from them. He went up into heaven. They saw him go. And I'm sure he left that group of disciples raring to go out and share what they had learnt, share their hope with others, share about a hope that was eternal. But before Jesus left, he commanded them to do no such thing, but to wait in Jerusalem for the gift that the Father had promised them. The gift of God, the Holy Spirit. That the power of the Holy Spirit that would so fill them that in his power they would become effective witnesses to the wonder of the death and resurrection of the Son of God and of his coming again one day and of all he would do in between times. So they would be wonderful witnesses to the hope that is in Christ Jesus. Not just in Jerusalem, but in all Judea, in Samaria, and to every nation in the world, and not in their strength, but in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And so it happened. On the day of Pentecost, Peter started preaching. And what did he preach about? He preached about hope. Hope through the death and resurrection of this Jesus. He talked about the hope that Jesus, through his death and resurrection, had released into this world. And over 3,000 people on that day believed in that, the Lord Jesus Christ. 3,000. And they proclaimed that belief openly and publicly by being baptized. And then just a little while later, through that same power of God the Holy Spirit, hope was given in the place of hopelessness to a man who had been crippled from birth. He was sitting there at the gateway of the Temple Beautiful. And the preaching that came after that about hope through belief in Jesus continued. And the number of people saved, we are told, increased to 5,000 men alone, let alone women and children. Think of that. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? Isn't that the power of the resurrection? And you know, this should not surprise us, because the Bible says this hope that they preached and we proclaim still does not disappoint. Through faith in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 5 states that we rejoice. We rejoice in our hope of glory. There's that word again, hope. But you know what Romans 5 says? It says as believers we can even rejoice in any suffering that life pours on us, because we have the assurance of the risen Lord constantly at our side. Not because we have the assurance that the suffering will go away, but because we have the assurance that he will be with us and will make sense one day of that suffering as he takes us to glory. Now you may be thinking to yourself, okay, that's great, Pastor, but with the extent of my suffering and my darkness and my hopelessness, how will this hope ever break through for me? How can you be sure it won't disappoint me? Because God's word says so. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Isn't that amazing? Not because it goes away, but because God's love has come to stay. And it's in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, you mean so much to God, as I do, that he delights to give you his Spirit when you reach out to him through the sacrifice of his Son. And by that Spirit, he pours his love for you into your heart till it overflows. And from that time on, even when you go through situations so dark, so dismal, so terrible, that you contemplate giving up your hope, and I know many Christians who do that, and I know how hard it is when people struggle, because I've often sat beside people in that situation. That hope that God has placed in you by his Spirit, with that tremendous love, will cause you to cling to God, sometimes by your spiritual fingertips. And sometimes you think you're going to give it up. Why don't you? Because God's still there. And he makes himself somehow known to you through that blackness. And he's there at the end of that road. He's there. And said, I've been there all the time. The God who ever lives for you. That's the wonderful message of Easter. Not that God lives, but that God ever lives for you and me. James Deloach, Baptist pastor from Texas, wrote, "I'm not a connoisseur of great art, but from time to time a painting or picture will really speak a clear, strong message to me. Some time ago, I saw a picture of an old, burned-out mountain shack. All that remained was the chimney, the charred debris of what had been that family's sole possession. In front of this destroyed home stood an old, grandfather-looking man, dressed only in his underclothes, with a small boy clutching a pair of patched overalls. It was evident that the child was crying. Beneath the picture were the words which the artist felt the old man was speaking to the boy. They were simple words, yet they presented a profound theology and philosophy of life. These words were, 'Hush, child, God ain't dead.'" And he continues, "That vivid picture of that burned out mountain shack, that old man, the weeping child, and those words, 'God ain't dead,' keep returning to my mind. Instead of it being a reminder of the despair of life, it has come to be a reminder of hope. And I need reminders that there is hope in this world. In the midst of all of life's troubles and failures, I need mental pictures to remind me that all is not lost as long as God is alive and is in control of his world." God is alive. God is alive. That's what this Sunday is all about. God is alive. He is in control of this world and its destiny. But the question always is he in control of your life? If you handed it to him, if you handed it to him and taken it back, and need to give it back to him. Do you know this hope that springs eternal? A hope that won't disappoint. That's the promise of God's word. And if it isn't yours already, then today is the best ever day to make it so. For today is the day of resurrection. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Praise God.